I want to share with you from Luke 15, verse 11 through 32. Luke 15, it's the story of the prodigal son. And this is this might be a sensitive topic for some, and some might be going through these sorts of days even now. But I'm gonna change up this story a little bit. Well, she'll like it, I promise. You're all familiar with the story of the prodigal son, but do you know why they called him a prodigal son? A prodigal son. Well, we would think that's because we've come to know the phrase, oh, here returneth the prodigal son. You know, if you haven't been around for a long time, you've left and all that. Well, here, look, he's finally back, and he's a prodigal son. We think of one who has abandoned home and rejected family, and when he returns, there's much lavish celebrating forgiveness and joyful restoration. There's what we see when we think of prodigal son. That's the image perhaps we have in our mind's eye. But here's the definition of a prodigal. A prodigal. It's one who is spending money or squandering resources foolishly and recklessly, wastefully, extravagant. Here's an example phrase, if you will. The prodigal child would foolishly spend her allowance the minute she received it. That's what we're describing, a prodigal child or a prodigal person of any sort, is someone who's just a foolish spender of money, wasteful, and just throws it around willy-nilly without much thought. But there's a second definition. Now, this is Old English. This is like 15th century English where they get this. This is what they called this story, this proverb. They called it the prodigal son, but that word is not actually in the text. Now, here's the second definition. Having or giving something on a lavish scale, generous, without concern of worth or the receiver's worthlessness. It's a wonderful thing. This is a different side of prodigal. You can be foolish and throw and waste and be a fool in your behavior with money or with whatever resource you've been blessed with. But on the other hand, you can be generous. And it would be an act of a loving sort, if you will. The first definition would most certainly apply to the foolish young son of this parable we find in Luke 15 that Jesus shares with us. The second definition would be rightly applied to the father in this story. He represents our Heavenly Father. You, of course, knew that. Our Heavenly Father, who is so overly abundant and generous in forgiveness toward us for our sin. He lavishes His forgiveness on us for the sake of Jesus' suffering and death. Our Lord is not one bit stingy, as He willingly and freely, generously, extravagantly forgives us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, 8 lays it out like this by saying, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavishes upon us. Do you see that? There's the prodigal father. He didn't run away and wastefully behave and then come back and, oh, you finally showed up, prodigal father. It's not like that. That's the definition we've sort of placed upon that name, prodigal. But the real meaning is like this. God does not give just a little bit. He doesn't give just a little bit of His forgiveness and then demand that we do all sorts of good works to earn the rest of His forgiveness. It's not like that. Our Lord's forgiveness is all. And according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace, He's got it all, and He gives it all. He does not hold it back. And the Bible repeatedly tells us God is very rich in grace. The Bible does not say that God forgives just some of our sins. We have forgiveness of all our sins. What a joy that is. That is the prodigal father. Whatever they might be, or however many our sins are, God forgives. Praise the Lord for that. We all need the lavish forgiveness God gives us because of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. It was His doing, and it is our benefit. So while the son is rightly described as a prodigal, one could also and rightly say that the father was, in a sense, prodigal as well. You wonder, well, what's this got to do with Mother's Day? So I'm going to do something very risky, and if I was in Bible college, I wouldn't do this, Joe. I would not take the scripture and go, where we see the story of the father and the son, we're going to place mother there in that story. And that's okay, because it doesn't mean that God's a woman. Please don't go there. That would be ridiculous. Amen? Amen. Amen. Not that a woman couldn't be awesome. Wait a minute. I have to be careful here too. Holy doodles. Man isn't God. Woman isn't God. God is God. There. I'm safe again. We better pray. My goodness. Holy Lord, we want to get this right. And while we don't want to step on toes, we certainly don't want to mess with your word. Your word is good. It's right. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is always effective and living and active. Oh, we thank you for your word today. And we want to rightly handle it and rightly receive it and rightly act upon it as we consider mums and ladies in general today. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think I'm safe again. But you know, when I think about this story, it would be more likely that the mother would behave like this than the father in most situations, in real world situations, if you will. You know, the mother is the one that holds out hope. The mother is the one that keeps trying to bring that prodigal child back. It's the mother, and I know it is, the mother that prays and prays and prays. It's the mother that is like that. It's how it is. Mothers would be more likely to fit the description of this story, and it doesn't take away from the story. God's word commands men to love their wives and for wives to respect their husbands. God's word tells us that on purpose because it's very natural for men to appreciate respect and for women to love. Women love easily. Women are, they're just naturals, and that's why God had to say, and women, while you're at it, being so good at loving your husband, respect him too. And men, while you're so good at giving and receiving and appreciating respect, your wife wants your love. That'll be a little harder for you. That'll stretch you. You're going to have to be romantic. You're going to have to be expressive. You're going to have to be thoughtful. Yeah, that's tough for us men. Women, that's as natural as, what, falling off a log, I guess. Gravity taking its... It's a saying. I don't understand it, but it's a saying. It's as natural, as simple as falling off a log. There you go. Well, God's word is right. The women have a hard time appreciating the concept of respect the way we do, men. But they get love. They understand love in all its ways, in such a depth that we men can barely begin. They are so savvy in the ways of love. But for today, we will focus our attention on mums and love. So I'm going to, dare I say, change the story a little bit and retitle it The Prodigal Mum. Or The Prodigal's Mum, whichever way you like it. Now, it would begin much the same way. Mom, Dad, and the two boys, and the younger of the two rejecting home and family and hitting the road. He falls in with the wrong crowd. He squanders all that his family has given him. Now, in the story, yeah, it's his inheritance, it's his wealth. But, you know, it's not as simple as that. It's his good upbringing. It's his good name. It's all that he has heard and experienced. It's what his parents have instilled in him. It's all of that. And that child says, I'm out of here. And, oh, it's devastating. We can appreciate that, especially if you've ever experienced even some of that to whatever measure. It's absolutely devastating. Whatever one might have valued, he now recklessly casts away and wastes and abandons all that was and was good. But then it's all gone after a while, and not a long while usually. And the prodigal hits rock bottom. So-called friends are gone. Everything he had, gone. Those people who were basically parasites on his life and character, sucking and leeching off of him all that was good. He's at the very bottom now. But that is when the prodigal comes to his senses, as we read in God's Word. It actually says, and then he came into his right mind. What a thought. It just, boom. You know what? What am I doing? It's like he wakes up and he's figured it out. The light's finally gone lit up, and he has an idea of what he has done and what he has wasted, and what can he do about it? And what a joy when we read that he comes to his senses and says, I'll go home. I can go home. And even at the worst, home is better than this. I'll go home. And he rehearses what he will say, and he goes home with an attitude of forgive me. But now, and I am sorry, and all of that is in his heart, and he's sincere. And what a joy that is. That's a wonderful moment in the story. But this is where Mom comes in. And yes, Mom has been in the story all along. You just didn't know it. Mom has been in this story right from the day that prodigal strayed, ran away, left home. Mom has been desperately praying, hoping against hope, shedding tears. Every prodigal son should thank God for their prodigal mom. Amen? They're praying moms, lavishly praying, every day praying, always in their mind, always in their thoughts, always in every moment. They see a young person wearing a similar hoodie, and they're, oh Lord, remember him. Be with him, protect him, help him, bring him back. They see anything that triggers a reminder, and everything triggers a reminder, by the way. And mom is praying for their prodigal son. This is where mom really shines. She's been praying and interceding, pleading with God, praying the protective blood of Christ over her child. And back to the story. We read, but while he was still a long way off. We're talking about a child who's still a long way off. Yeah, it could be in physical distance, but I think it's also in where we would like that child to be. Dad says, well, when he finally gets his head screwed on straight, I'll let him back in the house. That is kind of, that's how we are sometimes, guys. Let's be honest. Well, you know, doesn't that sound like respect? When he proves himself and I'm worthy of my respect, I'll treat him. Blah, 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 blah. And that's what men do. And sorry, guys, that is what we do. And hopefully you're nodding your head. Some of you are going, no, I'm just perfect. So, no, you're not doing that. But mums, on the other hand, while that prodigal child was still a long ways off, hadn't figured it all out yet. All that kid has figured out so far is, I need to get back. This isn't where I ought to be. I gotta get back. And thank God, mom is looking for that child. Like God looks for us sinners, and we are a long ways off. God is like that for us. Mom is like that, and she's just looking for anything, just a glimmer of hope, just a little light at the end of that tunnel. Is that the dawn? Is there hope here? Is it morning finally? It's like that for Mom. The long night and all that darkness. And maybe it's morning. Maybe it's finally. She's just the hint on the horizon, just the slightest glow of light. Maybe. Maybe the clouds are separating a little. And she prays all the more. I love it. While that sun was a long way off. Thank you, Lord. And it reads like this. And the father saw him and felt compassion. And the mother saw him and felt compassion for him. And ran and embraced him and kissed him. She didn't say, well, he'll be here in a while. She ran. He ran and met that child in that place where they are. Didn't say, well, when you get to such a point, I think we can trust our hearts again to let you in. And no, she ran recklessly to him and just celebrates. Oh, it's you. You're back. It's really you. I'm not just dreaming this. Praise the Lord. Moms are like that. When we are still a long ways off, Mama's looking and praying, and she's offering up tear-soaked prayers night after night, day after day, searching for hope. Moms are just so much better at unconditional love. They really are. Agape love, that wonderful love that has no strings attached. Just love. Just boom, I love. Oh, I love you. Just love. And they are lavish in their love, and that's wonderful. When it comes to winning back a prodigal son or daughter, moms already know that you just can't win them back with preaching, with beating them up with God's word and say, thou shalt not, and what have you done, and you need to get back to Jesus, blah, blah, blah. Well, it is all true, but you will never preach the hell out of someone. You will never judge the hell out of someone. You will never criticize the hell out of someone, but you will love the hell out of them. You will. It is love that wins them. It is love that saves the day. It is love. It is love that motivated God to send Jesus Christ into this world to die on the cross for our sins. It is love that is lavishly bestowed upon us. That is the key. That is the absolute most important. God is love, and God has created women to be amazing at love, and they get it. And dad's just, well, we'll see you. But mom is just, oh, and it's like everything is forgotten, and I just want to hug you and squeeze you like toothpaste right in the middle. I just love you like that right now. And the kid is resisting a little and at the same time loving it too. You know, it's like that. It's praise God for moms and their love. Wonderful. You can love the hell out of someone. I hope you're okay with me saying that. As for us dads, our specialty is respect. And so it is. But we could take a page from mom. We could learn from mom, that is for sure. Because moms really do know how to love. Scripture actually warns the dad. Fathers, do not exasperate your child so that they will not lose heart. That's a fancy word, exasperate. It also means to frustrate. Do not aggravate. Do not vex, as the old English. Cause them to become resentful. Do not do that. Do not provoke them to anger. Do not, lest they lose heart. Doesn't say that to mom. I don't think she would need to be reminded of that. She's probably reminding dad at the same time, honey, don't, you know, like, stop that. You're not helping. I've been there. I've been poked, kicked, gently reminded. You know what? Say less. Love more. Good idea. Thank you, honey. The proverb of Solomon, Proverbs 10:1, says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. You get that? It's like dad really respects his wise son. let me tell you about my son. And it's a wonderful place to be when you can do that. Wonderful. But the foolish son brings grief to his mother. And grief, it is a heavy grief. It's sort of like the Jewish, you can just imagine the Jewish mama saying, you want to break your mother's heart? You know, it's like that. It's always like that. Just, what are you doing? You're killing me here. You know, it's just, you can't phone? You can't write? Hey. Mums are like that. That's a little guilt, a Jewish guilt thing they do. But, I mean, that's okay, too. That's all right. Mums, they keep the home fires burning. I love that saying, keep the home fires burning. You know, there was a time back in the days before electricity when it would be so dark. You might remember those days. They were dark. I mean, we're talking literally dark days, all right? So dark that if it was no moon in the sky and clouded over in the middle of the night, you could actually be walking home and run into a cow. I mean, it would actually be like that. It was so dark out. And thankfully, Mom would leave a candle in the window. Maybe Dad did too, I don't know. But I'm going to say, Mom would do that. She would leave a candle on, a light on in the window to help you find your way home. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? And it would speak so much. Actually, it reminds me of, I've got something here. There we go. Yeah, I can let my little light shine here. Anyways, moms are like that. They would leave a light on in the window, and that light would show you the way home. Wonderful. We're talking in the literal, but also in the spiritual sense, that prayer, that hope, that belief that God will do this and will bring my prodigal home to me. Mums are like that, and that light would stay on. And that light would also suggest, welcome. You can come here. This is a good place to be. Walk this way. Come this way, and you will be welcome here. And it also suggests, I believe, warmth. Judy's always liked, as we drive around communities, especially in the wintertime and the cold of night, she likes not looking in people's windows for the sake of, what are they doing in there? She wouldn't do that. She just likes, from a distance, seeing the windows, you know, and the lights glowing. And it just makes the house look so nice with the lights on in the home, and it looks warm and inviting. You know what we're saying? It's like that. That light, Mom, your light is warmth. Your light is welcome. Your light says, we're waiting for you. It's wonderful. We're wanting you home. That's what your light says. We want you back. We want you here. It's the way. A little light is never brighter than when it's most dark. God's word says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do mums light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on a stand, and it shines unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men and those who are outside the house, and for those who are finding their way and needing warmth and want to be welcomed, that they may see your good, good heart. Glorify your Father in heaven. Moms, thank you. Ladies, thank you that you are so good at love, so warm, so welcoming, so quick to receive, to forgive, to accept. Oh, thank you for that. Don't ever stop. I want to offer you all a gift today. All the ladies here today, please, before you leave and before we all head out and have our photo taken, because you look so nice, it's going to be great. And I would like to give you each, I think it still works. Yeah, there it is. A light. I know, I'm getting weirder every year. You want one of these. Let me tell you about this. It's magnetic. It's LED. It flashes. I'm over here. Over here. Is that where the keyhole is? Good. I mean, you want this. And it says, this little light of mine. This is for you. Just a reminder, and don't give it to your kid. And because I know you will, because you're like that. Oh, I want that, Mom. Oh, okay. Because you want it too. It's just like, by the way, kids, and you who have all grown up now, she did want that last piece of pie. All right? That is true. But she just, no, you go ahead. Like you need it. Anyways, she didn't say that. I'm saying that. That's what Dad would say. Well, wait a minute. If you're giving it to him, I want it. That would be the dad part in it. But mums are wonderful. And you are like that. You are like a light on a hill. You're a city on a hill. You are a light in the darkness. And you shine brightest when it is darkest. I want you to have this and throw it in your purse or your glove box or whatever. And every once in a while, you're going to need it. Pull it out and use it. And then you're going to read it and go, no, that was right. That's true. We are lights. We shine. Let your light shine in such a way that they will see your good and give God the glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer.